Picture this. An air tanker is on final approach to a drop. Smoke is thick. Visibility is marginal. The pilot is hand-flying at low altitude, watching for terrain, watching for other aircraft, watching for the lead plane signal. The whole operation is coordinated down to the second. And then somebody pulls out a consumer drone. That's not a hypothetical. That's what happened in Arkansas. Unauthorized unmanned aircraft systems forced aerial firefighting operations to a complete stop during an active wildfire. Aircraft that were there to protect lives and property, aircraft that were doing exactly what they were supposed to do, had to stand down because someone decided a wildfire was worth a good video clip. I'm Tower. This is ATIS on Radio Hangar. And this story matters to every pilot listening because it is not just a firefighting problem, it is a systemic problem with how we share the airspace. Let's get into it. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight, from first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Here's what you need to know about what happened in Arkansas. Wildfire aerial operations are among the most complex, most demanding, and most dangerous flying in the world. Air tankers, lead planes, and helicopters work in a coordinated ballet at low altitude in degraded visibility, often in mountainous terrain, under time pressure, with lives on the line. The coordination required is extraordinary. The margins for error are slim. When a drone enters that environment, everything stops. It has to. Because you cannot see a small unmanned aircraft in smoke. You cannot maneuver a fully loaded air tanker to avoid a collision at low altitude. And if a drone gets ingested into an engine or strikes a rotor system, you have not just an aircraft accident. You have a crash in the middle of a wildfire, with no runway beneath you and no good options. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, issues temporary flight restrictions, which pilots know as TFRs, around active wildfire operations as a matter of standard practice. These are not informal suggestions. They carry the force of federal regulation. Specifically, Title 14 of the Code of Federal Regulations, Part 91, Section 137 governs TFRs around wildfire suppression activities. Operating in that airspace without authorization is a violation, period. The TFR is put in place for exactly this reason. It creates a protected bubble around the operation so that the pilots doing the work can do it without worrying about what else might be sharing that airspace. When a drone violates that TFR, the entire aerial operation has to pause until the unmanned aircraft is confirmed clear. Minutes matter when a fire is moving. Arkansas is not an isolated incident. It's part of a pattern that has been building for years. Go back to the summer of 2015 in California. Multiple wildfires were delayed in their aerial attack because of unauthorized drone activity. In one case, a large air tanker was moments away from making a retardant drop over the lake fire when a drone was spotted in the restricted airspace. The aircraft had to break off. The fire advanced. That single incident caused a measurable delay in containment operations. The problem became severe enough that California passed its own state law in 2015, making it a criminal offense to interfere with emergency aircraft operations. The penalty could include up to 6 months in jail and a fine of $1,000 per occurrence. The FAA has the authority to pursue civil penalties on top of that, and yet it keeps happening. The reason it keeps happening is not malice. Most of the time, it's ignorance. Not ignorance in a dismissive sense, but genuine factual unawareness. The person flying the drone near an Arkansas wildfire probably did not call 1-800 weather brief. They probably did not check the FAA's UAS pre-flight tool. They probably did not open ForeFlight or any other application to check for active TFRs. They saw something dramatic and wanted footage. That gap between the regulatory framework and the actual awareness of consumer drone operators is one of the most serious unresolved problems in the national airspace. Here is the scale of the issue. As of recent FAA counts, there are approximately 900,000 registered UAS operators in the United States. That number includes commercial operators who have passed the Part 107 Remote Pilot Knowledge Test, which covers airspace, TFRs, and the rules. But a substantial portion of those registrations are recreational flyers, and recreational flyers face a much lower barrier to entry. They are required to pass a basic safety test called TRUST, which stands for the Recreational UAS Safety Test. The test is free, takes about 30 minutes, and covers fundamental rules. It is not equivalent to a full airspace knowledge exam. That is not a criticism of recreational flyers as a group. Most of them are responsible, but the knowledge floor is lower, and the population is large. When you have hundreds of thousands of casual operators in a breaking news event like a wildfire, you're going to get people making bad decisions. The technology exists to address some of this. Drone manufacturers have implemented geofencing, which uses GPS data to prevent drones from entering restricted airspace. DJI, which holds a dominant share of the consumer drone market, has built geofencing into its software for years. The system can alert operators before flight or restrict operations entirely near airports and certain sensitive areas. But geofencing has limitations. TFRs around wildfires are dynamic. They can be issued on short notice. They can expand and contract as the fire moves, and not every geofencing database updates in real time. A drone operator who checked before launch might be clear on paper, even as a TFR is being published. The FAA has worked to improve the integration between TFR data and drone operator tools. The agency's UAS preflight tool at FAA.gov is one resource. LAANC, the Low Altitude Authorization and Notification Capability, provides near real-time airspace authorizations for recreational and commercial drone operators in controlled airspace. But LAANC was not designed primarily for TFRs. It's a different system addressing a different need. For wildfire TFRs specifically, the burden still falls heavily on operator awareness and compliance. And in the Arkansas case, that system failed. Let me be direct about the human cost when aerial operations are grounded. Aerial firefighting exists because ground resources alone cannot always contain a fire. Air tankers can deliver thousands of gallons of retardant to positions on a fire line that ground crews simply cannot reach in time. Helicopters can perform precision water drops, transport crews, and conduct reconnaissance. The lead plane serves as the scout, the guide, and the communications hub for the entire aerial effort. When that operation is grounded, the fire does not pause. The fire advances on its own schedule. Property is at risk. Structures burn that might not have burned. The people on the ground, the hotshots and smoke jumpers and engine crews who are doing incredibly dangerous work, lose the aerial support that is part of the coordinated suppression strategy. The risk to ground personnel goes up when the air operation goes down. Measured in those terms, an unauthorized drone over an Arkansas wildfire is not a minor regulatory infraction. It is an interference with a life safety operation. The response from the aviation community has generally been to push for stronger enforcement and better education. The FAA has issued civil penalties for drone TFR violations, and those cases do get publicized. The deterrent effect is real but limited. Because the people who most need to hear about the consequences are often the least likely to follow aviation news, there's a role for pilots here that is worth thinking about. If you have friends or family members who fly consumer drones, you're probably the most credible voice they'll hear about why this matters. You understand airspace. You can explain in terms that land what it means to try to avoid a drone you can't see while flying an air tanker through smoke at 500 feet. The regulatory argument matters, but the human argument lands harder. The other piece is advocacy. Organizations like the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, or AOPA, the Experimental Aircraft Association, or EAA, and the National Agricultural Aviation Association have all been active on drone integration policy. When the FAA opens comment periods on UAS rules, pilot voices in those comment periods matter. The rulemaking process is slow and sometimes frustrating, but it responds to organized input. The broader context here is that drone integration into the national airspace is not finished. It is ongoing, and the rules are still being shaped. Remote identification requirements, which the FAA calls Remote ID, went into full effect in March of 2024. Remote ID requires most drones to broadcast identification and location information that can be received by aircraft, ground stations, and eventually enforcement personnel. It does not prevent a drone from entering restricted airspace, but it makes it easier to identify the operator after the fact. That is a step forward. But it is not a solution to the immediate problem of a drone appearing over an active wildfire while aircraft are working. In the short term, the operational reality is unchanged. Aerial firefighting crews will continue to ground their operations when an unauthorized drone appears. They have no other safe option. And every time that happens, there is a cost measured in acres burned, structures lost, and risk transferred to the people on the ground. The Arkansas incident is a reminder that airspace is not just a set of lines on a chart. It is a shared resource. The rules that govern it exist because the consequences of violations are not abstract. They are measured in very concrete terms by the people who fly and the communities they serve. As a pilot, you understand that, in a way that most drone operators simply don't. The question is how we close that gap. My thanks to AVWeb for the reporting on the Arkansas incident and to the FAA for the regulatory framework documentation available at faa.gov, additional context from AOPA and the National Interagency Fire Center. You can find this segment and every episode of ATS at RadioHangar.com. Keep checking TFRs before every flight. And if you know someone with a drone, make sure they're doing the same.